Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
America awaits the opportunity to see a Jay Norvell coach team play on Saturday night. So I asked Matt Cotrello, who is Jay Norvell?
I'm guessing the coach at Colorado State.
You better believe it, baby. We are waiting. We want to watch those Rams. You are going to be rooting for Colorado State.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to know how you build a TV rating? And I think this game is like 10 o'clock Eastern
time. Yes, it is.
I think it's
on
really
ESPN.
Late.
Yes.
Like, what are we doing here? Right? But you want to know how you build a rating? Why are the Dallas Cowboys so popular on TV? Yes, Tim Singleton, I'm talking to you.
Because they're
Why?
America's team.
No. Here's the reason. It's simple. You do have a large fan base out there that loves them and grew up watching them. Because, look, the Cowboys, to their credit, for a long time, were the epitome of excellence, right? So you have a large fan base that loves them, starting from the mid-60s. Deep-seated. Team always played well. Roger Staubach, Detroit Aikman, all the great players they had. Tom Landry, Jimmy Johnson. And then you have a segment of the population that aches for them to lose because they've been a standard bearer. They ache for them to lose. So now you combine the two forces, okay? Okay, you're not a Tom Brady fan. Right? Right?
Correct.
Right. Why? Why? Because he wins. That's what bothers you. He wins. Or at least he did. Right? And your team doesn't. Sorry, but that's facts are facts. Your team doesn't. Right? They do have some years where they win, but no. Meanwhile, he finishes the job seven times. Right? That angers you. So you want him to lose. Right? Would you run away? Did you leave? Go to the bathroom?
No, there's other reasons, but yes, that's why.
Right. But it's part of it. Deion Sanders has a segment of the population that is aching for him to succeed, aching for him to win, and aching to see this model win. And you have another segment of the population that doesn't like the bravado, that feels that he is wrecking the college football model, and they want to see it explode and lose.
Exactly right.
And now you combine both forces, and you get a TV audience. Right?
Yep.
That's what it is. That's what it is. There was more money placed on the Colorado-Nebraska game than on any NFL game on Sunday. That's never happened before. Wow. Well, before we get into more of that, let's get to our play-by-play call of the day.
Field goal from the left hash. And that ball is mishandled. Blocked and picked up by the Cowboys defender on the right sideline. It is Noah Igbinogbanike, and he runs it in for a touchdown for Dallas.
It was Wanya Thomas with the block.
Brad Sham with the call on the Cowboys radio network. And that just started the night. The night, the Giants' opening drive was excellent. Moved it downfield, good plan, the whole deal. Then a bad snap on a third down play that just didn't get off the ground. And Daniel Jones had to jump on it and cover it. Then they bring out the ever-reliable Graham Gano, and they don't block one side and the at all. Came three through the gap. Came three, jumped through the gap, came free on the on Gano's right side, blocked, and they ran it back for a touchdown. You're looking around going, okay, what a great start. Worst opening day loss for a team since the Cleveland Browns came back into existence in 1999 when they lost their opener in their first ever game back, 43-0. Well, there's good news and bad news. The good news is there are 16 games remaining. Bad news is there are 16 games remaining. It could be that there are 16 games remaining. Yikes. Okay. But here we go. They call it the Rocky Mountain Showdown. I believe they have not played each other since 2019. I believe. And it's going to be at 8 o'clock in Boulder, Mountain Time, which is 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Colorado State is 0-1. Colorado is 2-0. Mark Jones, Lewis Riddick, and Quint Kesnick get the game. So here you go. And, of course, you will watch, and the second Colorado scores twice, you will be turning the game off in disgust.
Actually, I probably won't see much of it because it's a 10 o'clock start, if any of it. But I will be rooting for Colorado State in my sleep.
Where are you going on Sunday? You have nowhere to go.
I don't, no, but...
Come on.
I'm just not used to staying. I might try to watch a good amount of the first quarter.
Deion may win you over.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
You just don't like him. You know what's interesting is everybody I've talked to, now, I've only been around him one time, so I'm not going to give you anything about what I know about him being around him one time, because I've only been around him once. All right. But everybody I know that played on the same team with him tells you he's a worker, that he works. He does not take his talent for granted. That when it's time to work, he works. Now, he may have all the bravado in the world. To his credit, for the most part in his life, he has backed it up. He did a good job of coaching Jackson State. And now you're seeing what he's doing in Colorado. The part about the Colorado situation that I find interesting in all this is not the fact that he's coaching it, but the fact that he jettisoned so many guys, because I've always been a person that has genuinely felt that the second you take a job and you walk into a room, that is your team. Now, maybe that's old-fashioned on my part. Maybe it's yesterday's news on my part. But I've always felt that you know what you're getting into. You walk in the room, you look at the eyes of those guys, and that's your team.
I'm 100% with you, which is part of the reason why I've had a problem with all this.
And I'm not for cutting guys unless there's a reason to cut it, all right? So let's just say I walk in the room and there are three guys that, you know, we have team rules and they've violated team rules repeatedly. They're not showing any kind of respect for what we're trying to do here. Okay, that person should be cut. If you're not going to conform to what the team rules happen to be, yes. If you're somebody that's out there busting your backside, trying to conform to team rules, trying to do everything you can to give an effort, trying to improve, I can't cut you. I can't. And does it possibly delay, you know, what my progress toward winning? Yeah, I mean, can I fill gaps with the transfer portal? Sure. Well, I have players naturally transfer out anyway when I take the job. Yeah. The rules allow that. So, yeah. And that's how I start filling the gaps. But but openly just saying, hey, your services are no longer needed here, that's the one part that has bothered me through this.
Now, because in terms of the hype, I get why there's the hype around there and why the Big Noon Kickoff show is going to Boulder this week.
Sure. Yeah.
We laid out all those reasons. They're perfectly valid. I just have a problem because of the opponent. I know it's their rival, but for the rest of the country, Colorado State, I could give two wattolas about them. But the next 2 weeks, that's when I think you can go crazy because they got Oregon and USC in back-to-back weeks these next 2 weeks.
Yeah, except here's the problem. Okay. I think USC is out there, right?
They host USC. They go to Oregon next week, and then they host USC the week after.
Okay. Here's the problem you have. You don't want to go to Oregon because you've got Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Oh, that's true. Right. That is that week, yeah.
Okay.
And they're going to be there anyway.
See, it depends on what the other games are in a particular weekend. I don't know what the September 30th slate is like. So maybe USC, Colorado would be the right one to go to. That I don't know. But
not a good
but
point.
But this is a weekend. Again, you know, and you may be right. That may be the game, you know, that's going to capture the imagination everybody wants to watch. Right? So I got that. You know, Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley, Shakur Sanders, Deion Sanders, like, wow, here we go. This should be great. Okay? Got it. But right now they've got them at 2-0. On a weekend that doesn't have a lot of, quote, enticing matchups, and I think that plays a part in it, and I think ESPN wanted to jump on the Deion bandwagon as quickly as possible because they couldn't go last week. With Colorado, Nebraska, because they had Texas, Alabama, which was the right move, the right place to go. But if you're doing it for ratings, I think you want to get him on as early as possible. He's undefeated going into the game. There's a strong possibility he goes into the USC game with a loss to Oregon. But you've got Notre Dame, Ohio State, and I'm telling you right now, my opinion, just based on 2 weeks, Notre Dame's case three. Matt, I think Notre Dame's going to beat Ohio State.
I agree, and I wouldn't be shocked if it was more than two possessions or more.
I think Notre Dame has an excellent shot at beating Ohio State.
Yeah, I do too.
We'll see how it plays, but just this feeling on my part, 12 days out, Notre Dame is playing at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
And they're playing, and they've got three games under the belt. They're 3-0. So I'm talking about using a quarter of the season as a benchmark, including a road game at a Power 5 team where they played really well and won. It tells me that they've got some things going there.
After a slow start and the weather delay, too.
Yeah. And that weather delay was a long delay, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And then they came out and exploded and took over. They got a key touchdown before the half and then just totally dominated in the second half and pulled away.
What a difference the quarterback makes.
Absolutely.
Sam Hartman is...
Night and day.
As a college quarterback, okay? He is, I don't know what kind of pro prospect he is because I'm not around him enough to know, like, how, you know. Like, you watch Drew throw the out from the near hash mark to the far sideline. Pretty good, huh? But it's but that's next week. We'll get to that next week. But that's my initial feeling on that game. I think Notre Dame could win it, especially at home. It's going to be a really good game because I don't think we've learned a lot about Ohio State in the first two games. So we'll see. Yesterday's NFL action, so let's get to that. We'll do that in a moment. You have other complaints, right?
More or less with the Eagles, but yes.
Okay, we'll get to that. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
It's the NFL, so it's not as if you're trying to score points with voters and things like that to move yourself up a poll. In the NFL, it's about winning and how many W's and L's you have at the end of the year, and that determines whether you get to the playoffs and get to play in the tournament. So the Eagles did what they needed to do yesterday. They won. Slay had the pick six, which is just him on a tip drill being in the right place, right time. I mean, it was a well-thrown ball by Mac Jones that should have been caught, just like the INT Detroit brought back against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, how much better was Mahomes supposed to throw that ball on a play like that? But the receiver has to reel it in. It's his job. Elliott was the offensive player of the game because he kicked field goals. And the defense, after getting off to a great start, really was kind of up and down after that. So if you're just looking at, like, just a game one, they've got Nick Sirianni has a few things that he can sit down and talk with them about cleaning up for game two.
But you know what? He also needs to clean up himself. And I think it starts with him. He needs to practice what he preaches going into this game this week.
I thought the beard looked trimmed, and he looked like he'd washed.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Yeah. Call the janitor.
And he had the towel around them. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, I got to tell you a towel story. Go ahead.
I mean, you should be using that towel to be slapping players on the rear end to get out there and make sure they knew what they were supposed to be for special teams.
Aren't you violent?
I mean, that was maddening to see, is to literally waste all three timeouts for either substitution issues or things just not getting in from the sideline. Disorganization, this was not a problem at all during the preseason. It wasn't a problem at all last year. But all of a sudden, it was a problem yesterday, and you wasted all three timeouts of the second half for it, which you could have used maybe on that last drive as New England's driving to try to win the game, but then, of course, they got lucky with the call 1 foot out of bounds. So going back to what happened on the fourth and two situation and his decision, we already talked about just the terms of punting the ball, pin him deep instead of trying to end the game, and you give him a short field, you risk doing that. Nick Sirianni was totally oblivious to everything else to consider besides that simple fact. New England still had one timeout left, 1:13 to go in the game. It's a 5-point game, and you don't have any timeouts left because you wasted them. You forgot about that too, Nick. There's one thing about Nick that I have not liked at all about him. This is just the lone thing that I've had a major problem with, is he wants something so bad in a game to happen that he doesn't care until he gets what he wants. You can't coach like that, Nick. Sometimes you're not going to get what you want because guess what? You put yourself in that situation because you didn't have guys ready to get on the field twice for a special teams play, and you wasted on another time because you weren't ready for a 4th-and-17 play. You didn't like what you saw. That's on you, buddy. That better change going into Thursday night. I don't care how bad the Vikings looked yesterday against Tampa Bay. You're going to lose that game Thursday night. Because now you got guys out, too. Nadine's out for a couple weeks. Bradbury's probably not going to play because he's in concussion protocol. There's a lot for this team to work on heading into Thursday night, and I don't think you're going to see all that because you have to turn around and play on a Thursday night. Nick Sirianni had a bad, bad game. Probably one of his worst games he's had since early on in his days, in his tenure.
Deep, cleansing breath. Okay, take the bag. I sent you a bag.
I got that, thank you.
Breathe in, breathe out. You can get them at most local stores. Okay.
I'll keep that in mind for Thursday night.
Okay. Just take it easy. It's one game. One game, you're allowed, and you won the game. Correctable.
Yes, correct. All correctable mistakes, yes, no question. Right? So and you can do it while winning, as we talk about with Penn State, yes.
So now let's see if they correct that. I didn't like how Jalen Hurts saw the field. I just feel like he didn't see the field. I think he looked like a quarterback that believed all of his clippings and kept trying to hit the big play repeatedly. And it was like, no, there are a lot of guys running open. The kind of play you took last year that put you in this position, there are a few times you ignored that play trying to hit the home run. And you can't uppercut every pitch. So, it's not like he played a poor game, but he didn't play. He played a good game. He remotely did not play a great game, but he didn't play a poor game either. He played a good game. I think as time goes, he needs to lean more toward the great side of it. Because he's capable of it.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle. They'll do everything they can to save you money while making sure you're fully insured. They are the pros in insurance, the best in the business. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. A couple of broadcasting notes. Jim Donovan, the longtime play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Browns, since the reincarnation of the Browns in 99, he's been their voice. He's going to be stepping aside for who knows how long because of leukemia treatment. Chris Rose is going to fill in for him. You've seen Chris on NFL Network and on MLB Network. But Jim Don, we wish him nothing but the best. Never have met Jim, so I do not know him at all personally. But I just know of his work, and he's really good. And so, that's always tough to hear because he had a bone marrow transplant in 2011. And it looked like he was doing well and was on track. And then about a year and a half ago, it cropped back up again. Well, now he needs leukemia treatment. And so he is going to be out for a long period of time, it looks like. Then I want to get to the Al Michaels column, because you mentioned Thursday Night Football. The Eagles will play the Vikings. Is that game? Is that the home opener?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the second straight year the Vikings have to go there.
Also correct. Yeah.
The NFL schedules in a strange way. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
I mean, there was a long period of time where Green Bay kept going to Dallas. Dallas hardly ever went to Green Bay. Okay.
And last year it was Monday Night Football when the Eagles and the Vikings met.
It was. Yeah, it was. It was. So he was asked about, Al Michaels was, about the criticism being received by Tony Romo. So he talked to Richard Deitch of The Athletic and discussed the criticism that, you know, he's received of late and Tony Romo. Nobody, of course, is immune to it. And Romo said, quote, yeah, I'm the flavor of the month. Okay. So Michaels offered some insight into how he goes about looking at criticism that both he, Romo, and several others have received. He said, quote, now when you say, get it, does this mean that in a country of 330 million people, if 10 people rip you or whatever adjective the internet wants to use? I mean, I laugh at that because you and I both know that if a million people ripped you, 329 million people are not ripping you. He is correct about that. Sure, everybody wants to be loved. Corner office. Boy, does he want to be loved. Have you noticed that? I mean, when he walks up to the booth and that brass band plays Hail to the Chief, have you noticed that?
Bingo!
You know, he hired those people, and he's cheap. He says, sure, everybody wants to be loved, but I think I would not have lasted this long were I not doing it right away for the vast majority of the people who watch football. One of the worst things anyone in the public eye can do is type their name in Google and see what people are saying about them, because you'll get a lot of compliments and a lot of slings and arrows. You just have to go, hey, look, I'm doing this job. I sort of know how to do it. I think when people felt that maybe I wasn't as engaged as they wanted to, a lot of the calls of the games now are on YouTube after a game. He said, and let's hear the local announcer in Manhattan, Kansas, scream his guts out as Kansas State scores to win the game, right? And that goes, as they would say, viral. I've never been that way. I'm not going to scream my guts out. I've had some pretty good calls at the end of games, and they are shorter rather than longer. And there's a good reason for that, because you want the crowd then to absorb the moment. And I'm not screaming my guts out. We live in a society where there are a number of people who say, hey, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear the announcer go crazy. He says, Michael said that's not him, nor is it Joe Buck, nor Jim Nantz. He says, there's a reason the three of us have been doing what we've been doing for a long time. Now, the interesting part about that is that the difference between he and the Kansas State announcer, and I do not know the Kansas State announcer, so I think there was only one time the Kansas State was in a basketball tournament with us, and Penn State had the afternoon session, they had the night session, I never saw them. But with all due respect to each, so let's start with Al Michaels. Al Michaels is doing the audience from a neutral point of view. When it's exciting, he's talking about excitement. It doesn't matter whether, so let's take the Eagles and the Vikings. If Jalen Hurts makes a big play, Al Michaels will talk about what a big play he made. If Kirk Cousins happens to make a big play, he'll talk about what a big play Kirk Cousins made. Right? He knows what's special. He knows what's not. Because, look, Al Michaels to me is a part of the platinum standard in our business. And anybody who does this job for a living and understands how it works, the traffic of it and so forth, I think you have an understanding when you're sitting there saying that's a platinum standard guy. That's Al Michaels. Now, are there going to be people critical of it? Sure. And as for the Kansas State announcer, the Kansas State broadcaster is broadcasting to Kansas State fans specifically. Okay, so if Kansas State's playing TCU in a Big 12 game, he's not broadcasting to the TCU fans. They might be listening, but you're broadcasting to the Kansas State fans. They're excited, you're excited. Right? There's two different standards for each. And I appreciate both standards, but Al Michaels is a platinum standard along the way. At least my opinion. I mean, Matt only likes Merrill.
Actually, no, Al Michaels is one of my other idols. I've read his book that he just wrote a few years ago, You Can't Make This Up. I couldn't put it down. It was really fascinating. That's one of my favorite books.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Look, he's a platinum standard. All right? And look, as we'll take the Abraham Lincoln quote, you can fool what some of the people... some of the time, you can fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Well, it's the same with this. Guess what? You're going to please some of the people. You're going to please some of the people all the time. You're going to get some of the people mad at you from time to time. And you're not going to make everybody happy all the time. You're just not. Your job is just to do the best job you can. And you also have to realize that you know how to do your job in all likelihood better than the person that's criticizing you. I mean, I'm in this business. Do you think I'm going to pull Al Michaels aside and say, hey, maybe I'll try it this way? What, are you kidding me? No way. No way. But I'm not. But nobody's immune to it. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I don't like how he did this. Okay, that's fine. But one of the more important things that you have to do in this business is do exactly what he talked about. Like, who cares? Okay, you want to know what your job is? Okay, always try to be better the next game than you were the previous game. That's your job. And if there happens to be somebody, for example, that's in a mentoring position or also does the job and understands the traffic and how it works and so forth, and they want to say something to you, fine. That's fine. Right? No problem with that at all. Yeah. But, yeah. But you only listen to Merrill, so...
No, I always listen to the TV broadcast. I would, but radio, if you try to listen online, just doesn't sync up, so.
Yeah.
And I want to be in tune with what's going on.
Well.
Or else there'd be some Sundays that I would, to be honest with you. But there's some games that I won't. Like basically anytime they're on national TV, I'm fine. I'm totally fine with the guys that are there because they're good. I like listening to them. There's guys on Fox I like to listen in CBS. Others not so much.
By the way, it's Tom from Arizona said, "Keep the rants coming."
Bingo!
This is after he complimented Michael Robinson.
Oh, yeah, I thought M-Rob had an excellent debut as an analyst. Actually, I think I like him better as a game analyst than I do a studio guy. I thought he was really good. I thought him and Brandon Burke were excellent.
I talked to Mike the week before. We talked a little bit. about the team the week before. This is when he was doing the studio stuff. You know, he did the studio on location. But so I talked to him a lot the week before. I didn't talk to him this time, even though I think, I'm trying to remember, because Jack and I were across the field this time on Friday. And, oh yeah, I have to tell you the story about the towel. Okay, so it's a warm, humid day, right? So, you know, Jack had walked up from the hotel, and that's up the hill. So, yeah, like he wanted to grab a towel. So they give him a towel, and it's kind of like a string's hanging off like that. You always get that, like, one big string that is still attached to the right end of the towel and still attached to the left end of the towel, and it's just there. He looks at me. He says, how much money are they getting on this TV thing? And I said, I don't know, about 75 to 80 million. He goes, and this is the towel they gave me?
That's perfectly legitimate.
I said, you got to understand, Jack. I said, they're honoring the 73 team, so they brought back the 73 towels.
Ah.
The 1973. He says, really? I said, no.
That's a good thought, though. I like that, actually.
I just said it to say it. It's like, we're both laughing about it. Like, really? This is the best they can do? Phillies Braves playing a doubleheader today, and the Braves lead the Phils 5-4, top of the sixth. That's a makeup from June 21st. And game two will be tonight. Any quick details on that game? Let me just see here. This being a Monday, this rarely happens, but this is the part where they can make up for it. Cunha's 1-for-2. No home runs. Charlie Morton's gone 5 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs earned. Struck out 7, walked 3. Taiwan Walker started, went 5 1/3. Okay. Schwarber has 2-for-3. It's amazing. What is Schwarber at? 41 home runs? Right around there?
42 now, I believe.
42. You know what he's hitting?
Yeah, it's like 180-some, 190-some.
201.
Oh, he did crack 201 now. Okay.
Well, he's 2-for-3 today. Put him over 200.
I know. That is pretty remarkable, though.
When you think about that. I mean, he and Giancarlo Stanton. Right? Stanton actually, homered and won a game yesterday, right? He's got 43 home runs, and he came into the day hitting 198. He's now 201. I'm sitting there, like, I'm reading this morning. Okay, Yankees break up historic Brewers no-hitter. Like, what the heck are you talking about? Historic. Harvey Haddix threw 12 perfect innings and lost. Got me a break. Historic. Okay. They weren't putting runners on second base when Harvey Haddix pitched in extra innings. Crazy. But you guys won the game. Hey, one more, you're at 500. Sorry about Dominguez, though. That's tough. That is tough.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously, he's a very, no, but it's a very, very talented player. I hate to see that happen.
Yeah.
To a young player like that. Is it a UCL?
Yep, torn UCL.
Oh, man. That's hard. That's hard. So you're going to watch Rodgers and the Jets tonight?
I will, yes. And I hope the Bills win 40-0 like last night.
When you were younger, were you this consumed with hate?
I think it started after Rondae Barber's interception in the NFC Championship game. For me, I call it the Motrin game. I think it started right then and there.
Didn't he just go in the Hall of Fame?
He did. Where I sadly had to see that play over and over and over.
Well, it's the Aaron Rodgers debut tonight. Damar Hamlin, by the way, is not going to play for the Bills tonight. Just so you know. That's one. It looks like Fletcher Cox has a decent chance of playing on Thursday. Bradbury's in protocol, and Nakobe Dean is out for weeks. Okay. So just to update everybody on the injuries for the Eagles, I do not know the injury situation yet for the Vikings. But that's the first Amazon Prime game of the season. Do you have Amazon Prime?
Via my dad, yes.
Oh, I forgot. We have mastered stealing cable. Or stealing streaming.
So yeah, we're good to go for Thursday night. I'm seeing how my week goes as to if I'm going to try to stay up for the whole game or stay up till halftime or what. I'm going to see how the week goes, because I also have a game myself Wednesday night at Central Columbia. So.
And what game is that? Soccer?
It is girls soccer. Yeah.
Okay. And who are the teams? You mentioned one.
Yeah, Central Columbia is hosting Loyal Sock.
Loyal Sock. Okay, good. Hey, do we have any update on the young man at Jersey Shore?
I am still working to try and get in touch with Jersey Shore. I have not heard anything yet other than that there is a GoFundMe page for Max Engel as the player that collapsed Friday night right before the end of regulation. I've heard rumors of where he is, but I haven't heard anything confirmed, so I want to try to check with the school first before we put anything else out there. But all I know is that he still is hospitalized of some sort, and there's a GoFundMe page out for him and his family.
Max, we're all with you, buddy.
Yeah.
And you and your family, we're all with you. I mean, obviously I didn't see it happen. I've already heard about it.
Right decision was made, too, to end the game, even though it was tied.
Yeah, that's obvious that you know they did the right thing. But, hey, Max, we're all with you, okay? To Max's family, we're all with you. So whatever the circumstance happens to be, just remember a lot of people are out there with you and praying for you and, you know, get you back and going as quickly as possible. And, of course, you know, we don't know what the extent of anything is or what the problem happens to be, but blindly we can tell you that, you know, how much we're just all here rooting for you, okay? We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I feel like the show was productive in that your angst about Nick Sirianni, I believe, will allow you to go home now and put your arms around your two boys.
That's correct.
Instead of going home and throwing stuff around and saying, "Why is Daddy mad again?" and who is Nick Sirianni?
Well, working on Jalen Hurts first before we get to that.
Yeah, but you're not mad at Jalen Hurts.
A little bit, but I'm more over with him than I am with the coach right now.
But you're using Nick Sirianni right now as a swear word.